Ross K. Baker is Distinguished Professor of Political Science at Rutgers University. He received his PhD from the University of Pennsylvania. He was a research associate at the Brookings Institution and has served on the staffs of many members of Congress, including former Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid. Well, Ross Baker, I love having you on the program because you are the smartest guy about Congress that I know, and I know a lot of people. So here we go. The first question I want to ask you is maybe obscure to many people, but there you are in New Jersey, and up comes the evil gerrymander. Can you explain what's going on to people?
In the state of New Jersey?
Yes.
Yeah, it's interesting, Alan. It's a power grab by the two of the most important members of the New Jersey State Legislature, the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House, who want to we have a redistricting commission for the state legislature, which is composed of people nominated by the heads of the state party organizations, plus a tiebreaker. Now, what the Speaker and the President of the Senate want to do is introduce into that group members of the state legislature. So, therefore, people who have a vested interest in a particular outcome, that is, members of the state legislature, would now be part of the panel deciding on how the legislative districts in New Jersey will be drawn.
Now, this is exactly the opposite of what the intention was in forming an outside group to do it, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. It was to insulate it from influence from the state legislature. And by the way, Alan, the blowback has been fierce. And it's interesting because although the plan, in effect, would kind of embalm the Democratic advantage in the state legislature for all time, most of the opposition has come from the liberal side of politics in New Jersey, people who just think it's bad government. And as a result, they've decided to drop the plan.
It's an incredible story because, you know, here in New York State, we have the Republican state legislature who has always been allowed to gerrymander like crazy, as well as the Democrats in the Assembly, who from the moment they took over did exactly that. It is simply one of the most anti-democratic, small-d ways of doing business. And as Lawyer Welch once put it, have you no shame?
Right.
Well, it turns out that the Democrats in New Jersey have some shame. Many of the leaders, including the governor, have turned and said this power grab by the Democrats, getting even with the Republicans for all of those years, is unacceptable. And that's extraordinary, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, I think the Democrats in New Jersey are kind of drunk with power as a result of the fact that we virtually eliminated Republicans from the congressional delegation. There is exactly one Republican in the congressional delegation now out of 14 members. So I think the feeling was, well, we have the advantage. Let's press on and extend this to the state legislature.
There isn't even a Frelinghausen left, is there?
No, there's not a Frelinghausen left.
That's extraordinary.
Yep.
They used to call him, when I worked in Congress, they used to call him Frozenhausen. I never quite understood what that meant. But he's gone too. So, okay, so Ross, thank you for that explanation. And really, every once in a while, you get a little faith that people will do what's right as opposed to what's politically expedient.
Well, I think it's a big victory for Governor Murphy, too, who was opposed to it. I mean, virtually every good government group in New Jersey, from the League of Women Voters to the environmentalists, were opposed to it. And even though it would have enshrined a Democratic majority for all time, if it really was Democrats who said, no, this is not the way to conduct a redistricting.
Now, let's go to a different subject. I know that, of course, and we've talked about it before, that you worked for Harry Reid, who you very much admired. Now we have Mitch McConnell. And I've regularly, in my commentaries, been putting him as either number two or three in the worst people in American government. But I've just downgraded him to three because I have Rudy Giuliani for different reasons up up at number two. But when you compare these two guys, forget about only the Republican versus Democratic scale. How about on decency?
Well, you know, I took some students down to Washington on a couple of occasions and met with McConnell, who was really quite charming. He was very respectful of the students' opinions. And oddly enough, the students, who are almost uniformly Democrats, liked him a whole lot better than some of the Democratic members of Congress that they met. So, that's obviously something on a very personal level, you know, from the point of view of politics. He's doing what majority leaders do, which is trying to hold on to your majority. And in this case, holding on to his majority involves not completely alienating Donald Trump, who I think privately he loathes. But I think that, his feeling is he's got to give political cover to those red state senators whose constituents still love Donald Trump. Much against his impulses, I think, because I think that he understands that Donald Trump neither understands nor likes Congress particularly, that he's got to protect his people. And Harry Reid would have done the same thing, with an equally problematic president.
When you step back and you look at McConnell, aren't there some things that are particularly despicable? Like, for example,
Merrick Garland.
That's right.
Right, exactly, Alan. I mean, no, I think that was just a naked power grab, and I think he kind of manufactured this this notion that had no historical basis at all. That presidents in the final year of their second term shouldn't nominate people to the Supreme Court. I mean, it's an historical confection that he made up in his own candy store.
You know, there are some things, I hate to harp on this, that do undermine people's faith in government. And the idea that Obama, who had a year left on his term, or more than a year, couldn't nominate a Supreme Court justice who could then either be voted up or down by the Republicans in the Senate and others, was particularly undermining of people's faith in government.
No, that's right. I mean, he could have put it to a vote. It's unknown whether or not Garland would have been confirmed. But, I mean, I think at least that the Senate would have had the opportunity to take a stand, to vote on this nominee, and he denied them that constitutional duty.
Well, that's right, and I have to say, that's why he's on my list of the worst three people in American politics. Okay, so look, Ross Baker is distinguished professor of political science at Rutgers University, and a wonderful, wonderful, understanding man about the way in which government is conducted. I thank you so much for being with us, Ross. And when we come back the next time, we talk this time about some of the leadership, but I want to get to Paul Ryan.
Okay, let's do it.